Good morning. Welcome, everyone. We're so glad you're here with us this morning. I would like to take a moment, if we would, and just greet each other with the greeting that Christians have been using for a very long time. The Lord be with you. Let's pause a moment before we get started, and let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for today. We're so thankful for your presence here with us on this Pentecost Sunday. I thank you for gathering each and every one of us here in this room, online, wherever we may find ourselves, Lord. We are so glad that we can be in your presence. Be with us this morning. Be with every song that is sung, every prayer that's prayed, every word that is spoken, Lord. Be in it all and through it all. And may we hear from you more than anything this morning. As we pray these things in your holy, precious name, Father, amen. Amen. Well, if you are able and have a mind to, we'd invite you to join us in standing and singing this morning as we continue our worship through music.
Yeah. Thank you. be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love.
Father, we just thank you so much for this morning, Lord. We thank you for your Spirit, Father. We just ask that you allow your Spirit to just fall on us this morning, Lord. Just come over this place. It says when two or more are gathered, there you are in the midst of them, Father. And how precious it is to feel your presence, Lord. To just be in your love, Father. Because and all the chaos and everything going on, Father, what really matters is just being in your presence and allowing that to work through us, Father. We just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for the word that Pastor Judy's going to preach this morning, that you would allow it to speak to us, Father, that it would just resonate in our hearts, Lord. And we just thank you so much for another day to be here to worship you. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be with you. May we please pass the peace.
Okay, as we're starting to find our seats again, and so if there's a few announcements, some things we wanted to let you know is going on in the life of our church this coming week. They're not all in our slides, but we wanted to bring them to your attention. The first one is still our baby bottle boomerang. You'll see on your tables there's these little baby bottle banks. Say that 10 times fast. Baby bottle banks. If you would like to fill one of those, there's a slip of paper in it also that has the name of one of the babies that the Women's Center of Northwest Indiana has ministered to. But if you fill that with change or whatever you want to put in that, a donation of some sorts, and return it here to the church by the end of May, keep that slip of paper and pray for that baby and that baby's mom. They're a mom that has chosen life for their child, and we're so very thankful for that. And then those donations will go to the Women's Center of Northwest Indiana. We have another one that's not in our slides. Well, it wasn't in our slides, but God's Garden Valpo is going to be giving away free food rescued for you Sundays at 4 here at Living Hope. So if you would like a meal with some folks, or you know someone that could use a meal, you're welcome to come back here today at 4 o'clock and in the Sundays to come. And then we're going to have, we do have on Wednesdays from 6 to 7. How many of you know that we have a Bible and Life discussion group? All four of you. Okay, no, there's a few more than four. There's a few more. So Wednesday nights from 6 to 7, we do have a group of folks that meet here. And sometimes we discuss the Bible. Sometimes we discuss life and how the Bible applies to it. But it's always a good discussion. Always a good discussion. So we'd love to have you join us then from 6 to 7 on Wednesdays. And I think that's all we have, except thank you. I gave Dave permission, if I forget this, because I did last time. if you are needing to get in touch with the office or the pastor here at the church, you can do so by going to livinghope.info/connect. and filling out an electronic connection card, or there's green cards in the back. You can fill it out, drop it in the offering box. And if you're wanting to give to Living Hope, first I want to say thank you on behalf of Living Hope as a church. And you can do that a couple of ways. One is by going to livinghope.info/give, or again, we have envelopes back there for your offering. You can fill it out, put your offering in, and drop it in the box. So Before we get started this morning, yes. My understanding is she's doing okay. Deb had asked about Chris, and she's doing okay, still recuperating, still recovering and healing, but she's recovering and healing. I believe so. Yes, I don't know. The details I know, I don't know well enough to know if I can share them or not. not publicly, but I do know that she is recovering and she is healing, and we're very thankful for that. Very thankful that she is on the road. So, not on the road like driving, but on the road to recovery. So, anyway, so let's take a moment, if we will, and just calm our hearts and minds before we hear from the Lord. Father, again, we are so thankful. We're thankful for this day, for these folks, and for your Spirit here with us. Be with us so that we can hear from you whatever it is you have to speak to us this morning, a word of hope or encouragement. Lord, whatever it is, we are seeking you more than anything else this morning. We thank you and praise you and ask these things in your name. Amen. Well, when Pastor Rich and I were talking through what I might be preaching about today, this is confession time, full transparency. I forgot it was Pentecost Sunday. I knew it was Memorial Day. It was Memorial Day weekend. That part I was aware of, but I forgot that it was Pentecost Sunday until he was preaching last Sunday, and he mentioned something about it, and I went, I probably should pivot. And for those of you who may not know, Memorial Day is very near and dear to my heart. Having had a son who served in the military and having worked with military Gold Star families, Memorial Day is very near and dear to my heart. It really is. But not as near and dear to me as the Lord is. So today we're going to be talking about Pentecost Sunday. And I do believe that landing here is the best thing. Landing on Pentecost Sunday for this message is exactly where God wants us to be this morning. And we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday today. It's the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the people of God in power and fire and holy presence. But Pentecost is more than a date on the church calendar, even one we might forget about now and then. It's more than just a dramatic story from a long time ago. Pentecost is the reminder that God still fills ordinary people with extraordinary grace for the sake of the world. The main verses that we want to look at today comes from Acts chapter 2, the story of Pentecost. We're going to read the first four verses. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now Luke, the author of Acts, tells us the disciples were gathered together in one place after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And it wasn't just the disciples. It says there was 120 people that were all gathered together in this one place. And they were waiting and praying. And they were uncertain about what was going to happen next. Because Jesus, before he ascended back to heaven, didn't tell them what would happen. He told them to go and wait and pray. And that he would send the one that was promised, the Comforter. And that waiting part can sound familiar, can't it? A lot of us today know what it feels like to live in that uncertainty of waiting. We live in a world that's often filled with anxiety and division. People are exhausted. We're exhausted sometimes. Our world and our communities are fractured, and churches can even sometimes feel weary. Many people are wondering what comes next. And into that uncertainty, Pentecost comes. Into that uncertainty, Pentecost speaks hope. Because the story of Pentecost begins first with a group of frightened people in a locked room. But it ends with courageous witnesses that are carrying the hope of Christ into the world. And the difference between the two was the Holy Spirit. See, Luke says that suddenly there was a sound like a rushing mighty wind. It didn't build up a little at a time. It was suddenly. The sound came like a rushing mighty wind. If you've ever been in a tornado, I haven't. I'm thankful. but my understanding is the sound of it is deafening and frightening, terrifying even. And it was this kind of a sound that came into this room, and what looked like tongues of fire rested upon them. Now, I mean, I don't know that it was literally fire, but Luke had no words to describe it other than this. What appeared to be like fire rested on them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just the strong ones, not just the disciples, not just the educated ones, not just the super spiritual ones. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Ordinary people filled with holy power and that same Spirit, thank God, is still at work today. See, Jesus had told his disciples to wait. Not because God wanted passive followers, right? He's not looking for us to passively sit and just wait around for his Holy Spirit to show up. But because human strength alone could never accomplish the mission of God. They needed to wait for the Holy Spirit. The disciples had passion, and we saw that in the way Peter tried to defend Jesus in the garden when he was betrayed. Peter, the loud mouth, impulsive fisherman Peter, he had passion. They had the memories of Jesus. They had just spent 3 years with him. So they had all of these very fresh memories of him. They had even witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. If anybody was close to Jesus, it was those guys. But they still needed power beyond themselves, and so do we. The church was never meant to survive on personality, on programs, on charisma, or on human effort alone. The church was born through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the Wesleyan tradition, and that's the tradition that we here in Living Hope are a part of, we believe that the Spirit is active in every part of salvation. Before we ever even sought God, the Spirit was already drawing us through what we call prevenient grace. Some people like to call it a preventing grace, a grace that prevents us from being destroyed until we have a chance to meet God. When we repent and we trust in Christ, it's the Spirit who brings us new life. And as we continue walking with Jesus, it's the Spirit that keeps shaping us and transforming us into the people who reflect the character of Christ. See, Pentecost reminds us that following Jesus is not merely behavior modification. It's not a list of things that we do or don't do anymore. I know I grew up in the Church of the Nazarene, which Living Hope is a part of, back in the day, a gajillion years ago, it feels like. We did have a list of do's and don'ts back then. We didn't go to movies. We didn't go to dances. Women didn't wear pants, as I'm up here preaching in jeans. My mother would be having a fit if she knew I was just saying. So don't, we're not, she's gone on to be with the Lord, so you can't even tell on me anymore. So, no. But, you know, there was things that we couldn't do. And if you've been around a few minutes, you understand what I'm saying. But that's not what this is about. It's about transformation. I hear people say that Jesus loves us just the way we are. And it's true. He does love us just the way we are. But it's also true that because he loves us, and you've probably heard this before, God doesn't just forgive us and leave us unchanged. The Spirit continues working within us, healing what sin has distorted, and teaching us how to love like Jesus. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned before that the mission of God is to redeem and restore what sin corrupted in creation. That is the promise of Pentecost. The promise of redemption, the promise of restoration and reconciliation. Now, sometimes people can think that Pentecost is mostly about dramatic experiences. If you think about it, that first Pentecost was a dramatic experience. It was the wind alone, the sound of the wind alone, was enough to draw people to that place. And we'll read about that in just a second. But there are people who think Pentecost was this big dramatic experience, and that's all it was. And so they try to replicate those dramatic experiences. But according to Scripture, the clearest evidence of the Spirit's presence in our lives is a transformed character. What does that look like? Well, in Galatians, we read what that transformed life might look like. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Now, I'm pretty confident that most of us in this room, most of us listening online, have heard this passage and understand that it's a list of the ways that we as followers of Jesus should be. But I'm going to be honest, it was a long time before I connected those dots. It was a while ago now, but it took me a little while to connect that. To understand that if I am living a life filled and ordered by the Holy Spirit, then my life will then naturally display these fruits more and more and more over time as I mature in my faith and in the faith. And I've heard it put this way, although I wouldn't necessarily build a whole theology around this idea, but that the fruit, the one fruit of the Spirit is love, and that fruit is, for lack of a better term, evidenced by joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That if we are living out the love of God, right, as the fruit of our lives, then we are going to have joy. If we are living out that love, we are going to have peace. If we're living out that love, we're going to be patient. Not have patience. We're going to be patient. There's a difference. That we're going to be kind. We are going to be good. We are going to be faithful. We're going to be gentle. And we're going to exhibit self-control. And if we live these ways, our lives are pleasing to God. See, the Spirit doesn't just make us emotional. Although it does make us emotional. If you've encountered the Holy Spirit, boy, it's overwhelming, isn't it? And you can't help sometimes but be emotional. Maybe cry. Not everybody cries. Not everybody's likes to cry. Not everybody does cry. I know I don't cry very much, but man, when the Holy Spirit is especially near, especially strong in their presence, I can't help myself. But it's not about being emotional. The Spirit makes us holy. And holiness is not cold legalism or spiritual superiority. Holiness, in a nutshell, is Christ-likeness. Holiness is a heart so surrendered to God that love begins to reshape everything. How we speak, how we treat people, how we handle conflict, how we forgive, even how we respond to suffering. The Spirit works within us to cleanse selfishness, to cleanse bitterness and pride and fear, so that the love of Christ can be fully formed in us. And friends, the world desperately needs Christians who look and feel and smell and taste like Jesus. I had somebody ask me one time, why do you say, like, smell and taste like Jesus? Because I know that sometimes I pray that too. Make us more and more like you so that we smell like him, we taste like him. Not that people are going around licking each other. Please don't lick my arm, or please don't. But it's the idea that a person's senses, all of them, their sight, their smell, their taste, their hearing, their touch, every sense that people have is tuned into the fact that we carry the Holy Spirit and we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are living out this our surrender to the Spirit in everything we do in our lives. Sometimes, this is for free, this isn't in here. This is a little side note. Sometimes we wonder if we're doing a good job at that, don't we? Sometimes Jesus, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, sends us a message that we're on track. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. At our previous church, there was a girl, she'd been in our youth group. And I'd seen her kind of grow up through our youth group, and I loved this girl. I still love her. She's all grown up. She's finished college, finished a master's degree, getting ready to be a teacher, a special education teacher, I believe. She's amazing. I love this girl. But she was going through a difficult time a few years ago, and she called me up and said, "Hey, can you meet me for coffee? I need to talk to you." Absolutely. Anytime. So we met at Panera, because why not, right? And I got there before she did, and I was waiting for her. She came in, and as most people do, when you see someone that you know and that you love, you hug them, right? And I hugged her. I'd missed her. It had been a while since I'd seen her. And it was just a hug. I didn't think much of it until a few days later. She sent me a message. I kept that message, by the way. Because she messaged me, and she's like, "Judy, I need to tell you." She said, "When you hugged me, I knew the love of Jesus." She said, it just leaks out all over you. I'm glad that was the love of Jesus that was leaking and not anything else. But but that's what I mean when I say that we should look and feel and smell and taste more and more like Jesus. That all we have to do is hug somebody, and they know that Jesus is there. And not just Christians with opinions. People don't need Christians. The world doesn't need Christians with opinions. I got lots of them. I got loads of opinions. I really do. But that's not what the world needs. The world needs Christians who love like Jesus. Christians whose lives radiate the fruit of the Spirit. A Spirit-filled life should look different from the culture around us. In a world of outrage, if you've been online very much, there's a whole lot of outrage, right? But in a world of outrage, the Spirit forms peace. In a world of cruelty, the Spirit forms kindness. In a world of division, the Spirit forms reconciliation. And this is the ongoing work of Pentecost. So in the next section of Acts, chapter 2, pardon me, it can be looked at from several perspectives. And we are not going to go into the differences that this can bring up, but we want to read what's next, okay? Keeping in mind that in the first four verses said that the people that were filled with the Spirit started speaking in languages that were not known to them, okay? So, starting then in verse 5, I believe, "At that time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. 'How can this be?' they exclaimed. 'These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done.' They stood there amazed and perplexed. 'What can this mean?' they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, 'They're just drunk, that's all.'" I can't help but think of a Facebook post in this passage. When somebody's talking about something really awesome or something that somebody's done or something somebody has seen, and you got that one guy that will say the thing, right? Just like this, "Well, they're just drunk. Sorry, that was just an that was an intrusive thought that came into my head. But anyway, one of the most beautiful things, though, about Pentecost is who God chooses. And we see this in this passage, because the first witnesses to the Pentecost were not religious celebrities. They were not online pastors, were they? They were from Galilee. They were just regular folks. They were fishermen. And they were working people. They were women, former doubters, imperfect people with imperfect stories, and God filled them anyway. And that matters. It matters because we assume all too often that God only works for those who are through those who are exceptionally gifted or highly polished. If you know me, you know that that's not necessarily true. But Pentecost tells a different story. You see, the Holy Spirit delights in working through ordinary people who are just willing to say yes. Peter explains this in the next few verses. It says, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you're seeing was predicted long ago in the prophet of Joel. And I don't know if all of this is in your handout, but I'm going to read it. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire, clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, this last little bit that I just read it's a direct quote from the prophet Joel. We just didn't have room in the handouts to include all of it necessarily. But see, Joel's prophecy says your sons and daughters will prophesy, women and men, which I'm very thankful for. I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for that. Young and old, servants and leaders, the Spirit breaks down those barriers. And the kingdom of God is participatory. We don't get to sit and just watch. Because every believer has a call and a calling. Every believer has gifts. And every believer matters in the mission of God. You don't have to stand up here and bring a message or a sermon or a devotional. You don't have to serve on a board. You don't have to do all the right spiritual things to have a call from God on your life. Maybe that call is to go to work every day, wherever you find yourself. Maybe that call is just being there and being joyful and loving and patient and kind and good and faithful and having self-control. Especially when the guy next to you just want to, right? Am I the only one that ever has that experience? No? See, this is the call that every believer has. And if we are on mission with the Spirit, we are always on mission with the Spirit wherever we find ourselves. Now, maybe you're thinking, I'm not qualified. I don't know enough. I don't know the Bible well enough. Or I'm too broken. I failed too many times. I'm too old. I think that often. I'm too ordinary. But see, Pentecost reminds us that God has always used ordinary people filled with extraordinary grace. And the question is not whether or not you're impressive enough, because none of us really are impressive enough, are we? Whether we're good enough or we're smart enough, the question is whether you're available to the Spirit. You see, something changes in Peter after Pentecost. Peter was afraid before Pentecost. He had denied Jesus. He'd been hiding behind locked doors. He'd been running from the officials, afraid of what might happen if they found him. But after being filled with the Spirit, Peter stands publicly and proclaims the gospel with courage, because the Spirit always pushes the church outward towards mission. Pentecost is not about creating spiritual spectators. It's about creating witnesses. Those who will cooperate with the Spirit in fulfilling the mission of God. See, the Spirit empowers us to love difficult neighbors. None of us have difficult neighbors, do we? They're all lovely. Absolutely. But the Spirit also empowers us to serve the poor, to cross barriers and boundaries, to seek justice, to embody reconciliation, to forgive our enemies, near and far, and to bring hope into wounded places. Because the Spirit does not make the church more impressive. The Spirit makes the church more faithful, and faithfulness matters deeply in this cultural moment. See, the world doesn't need louder Christians, and there's some loud ones. The world needs Spirit-filled Christians whose lives reflect Jesus, people who carry peace into conflict, people who carry compassion into suffering, people who carry hope into despair, people who refuse to dehumanize others, even in disagreement. That is Pentecost living itself out in the world. I'm going to shift gears just a little bit and talk about Ezekiel. See, the prophet Ezekiel describes a valley filled with dry bones. It's a picture of what a vast battlefield at the time would have looked like after all of the bodies had decomposed until only the bones were left. And those bones had been bleached dry by the sun, the hot sun. We read in verses 1 through 14 of Ezekiel chapter 37. It says, "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?' 'O sovereign Lord,' I replied, 'you alone know the answer to that.' Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise across the valley." I can see this in my head like a movie. Can you imagine? Now, this is a vision. This is not necessarily happening. But can you imagine, even in a vision, being in a valley of dried, bleached, sun-bleached bones, not a speck of muscle or flesh to be found, and all of a sudden they start rattling? I might be tempted to hightail it right out of there, right? Anyway, so the bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin formed to cover the bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel, and they are saying, we have become old dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And when this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken." Now, this may seem like a strange addition to a Pentecost message, but in this vision that Joel had, that he was given, we're given a picture of hopelessness. Everything appears dead. So dead, in fact, And maybe someone here today understands that feeling. Maybe your faith today feels dry. Your heart is just exhausted. Maybe grief has drained you, or disappointment has made you cynical. Maybe you've just been trying to survive on your own strength and been doing so for too long. But see, God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live again? And when the Spirit breathes life into what seems to be dead. See, Pentecost declares that God still breathes life into weary people. The Spirit still revives hearts and restores hopes and renews churches, still heals what seems beyond repair. And I can't help but think that there's someone here today that needs to hear that God is not finished with you. Hear that again. God is not finished with you. Your weariness today is not the end of your story. Your disappointment is not the end of your story. The Spirit still breathes life into dry bones. Now, we don't need more polished religion without power. We don't need louder opinions without love. We don't need endless activity without the presence of God. What we need today, right now, is Pentecost. We need holy love. We need holy courage, holy compassion, holy unity, holy boldness. And the Spirit still fills, still transforms, still sanctifies, still empowers, and still sends. The question today is not whether Pentecost happened then, but whether we'll let it happen in us. And the question is whether we'll open ourselves fully to the Spirit of God. Will we allow the Spirit to transform our hearts? Will we allow the Spirit to shape our character? Will we allow the Spirit to send us into the world carrying the hope of Christ? Let me say, sending us into the world doesn't mean we have to go to Africa or South America or Asia or anywhere else. Sending us in the world means He's sending us to work, to our neighborhoods, to our community meetings. Sending us wherever it is that we find ourselves being sent by God. Maybe He's sending us into our own homes. But He still sends today. You see, Pentecost was never meant to stay inside the walls of the church. The fire of the Spirit was always meant to move outward into the world, to be shared with people. It wasn't meant to be kept inside. Those 120 people that received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost could have stayed in that upper room and never shared the good news of what had happened, the good news of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the good news of the Comforter that had been promised so long ago. They could have stayed inside there, kept it to themselves. They didn't, because the fire of the Spirit was always meant to go out into the world, shared with people who are desperate for the love and the hope and the joy that only comes from the Holy Spirit. I invite you to pray with me, would you? Holy Spirit, this morning we ask that You would breathe again on Your people. That You would cleanse our hearts, fill us with holy love, free us from fear. Breathe on us, Spirit, and renew our weary souls so that our hope is restored where we have discouragement. Our joy is restored where we are fainting. Empower us, Lord, to live like Jesus in a hurting world. Make us, Lord, into people who look like You, who walk and talk and smell and taste like You. And send us out carrying Your grace into our homes, into our communities, and into our world. And Lord, as we prepare to come to the table you have set for us this morning, remind us of the sacrifice of your body and blood that you gave so that we can be reconciled to you. If there's anything in us right now that stands in the way of that reconciliation, Father, forgive us. Forgive us for the things that we've done and not done, for the times and the ways that we have not loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and have not loved others as ourselves. This morning, we ask that you bless this bread and this cup as we receive your grace this morning, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I'd ask you to pray with us the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, the musicians are going to come back up for one last song. I'll be standing down here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. We have some cut up pita bread, some gluten-free wafers, and even some individual cups that you are welcome to take back and open them at the table. There's also some on the back table there. We don't want there to be any barriers to any of us coming to the Lord's table this morning and sharing in the grace that we find there. So as a musician sing, you're invited to come.
From heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit.
Father, once again, we say thank you. We thank you for this Pentecost Sunday where we are reminded of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Comforter, the one that was promised. We thank you, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, we can live a life pleasing to you. We can live a life that looks like you. Thank you for each person here today. And I pray that you go with us all as we take the Spirit from this place into all of the places that we will be today and tomorrow and in the days to come. We praise you and give you all the honor and glory as we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face toward you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. Amen.